Welcome, everyone. We're so glad that you could join us for the first edition of New Thought on the News this evening with Dr. Roger Teel and Reverend Mary Omwake, both Leadership Council members of the Association for Global New Thought. We're bringing you this first in a series of new monthly telegatherings on hot topics in the news as seen through the evolutionary lens of New Thought spiritual principles. So, for the next several months, each month, different members of the AGNT Leadership Council will be teaming up to select newsworthy issues that affect you, your community, and the world, and offer radically new interpretations of the stories we're being told by the mainstream media. So we invite you to use our website to offer suggestions and questions related to hot topics in the news today that you want your AGNT leaders to address in this monthly program. And we'll give you information about that website a little later in the program. So first of all, let me introduce you to the two AGNT Leadership Council members who will be the panelists for today's very first telecast. There's so much to say about these two, but I'll just give you a little snapshot. Reverend Mary Omwake is from the Unity Church of Linwood in Washington. She's a founding member of the Leadership Council for AGNT and Spiritual Director of Unity in Linwood. She's a former board member of Unity Worldwide Ministries and chairman of Church Growth and Development Teams for Unity Worldwide Ministries and the International New Thought Alliance. Dr. Roger Teel is from Mile High Church in Lakewood, Colorado. He's the senior minister and spiritual director of that church. Many of you are familiar with it. Co-founder of the Association for Global New Thought, and also the Synthesis Dialogues 1, 2, and 3 with His Holiness the Dalai Lama. He has served on the boards of the Interfaith Alliance of Colorado, the M.K. Gandhi Institute for Nonviolence, the Foundation for Affordable Housing, and the Community First Foundation, and many, many other accolades to your name. So welcome, Mary and Roger. Thanks for being in charge tonight.
Well, I don't ever feel really in charge, but thanks for having me.
Well, we'll be hearing a lot more from you as we move forward.
Awakening but, is realizing you're not really in charge. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, that's, I guess, you know, we're getting Buddhist on you already.
Yep.
Before we really begin the program tonight, I see so many old and new names on our computer screen today because we can get a sense of who's here listening in on the program. And I'd like to get a sense of who is here by taking a minute to ask you all, we're going to turn on your mics in a moment, to just take a moment to think of a word that might describe your intention for a better world. So now we're going to turn on your mics, and on the count of three, please speak your name and your intention into the whole group. One, two, three.
Maggie Love, Interfaith,
Awakened Cooperation,
Ethical,
Love.
Beautiful, thanks. It's nice to know that we've got people from all over the world joining us today. Mary and Roger, would you like to share a blessing for the world, for this work, before we begin our program?
Sure. Mary, why don't you lead us off?
Well, I will. You know, I'm so excited to be aware that even though we can't see each other and maybe we won't hear each person's voice, by just an intention and a willingness, we can connect. And so I just invite you to join me as we take a deep breath and just gently focus our attention in our hearts. And as we're breathing together, we begin to appreciate this technology that allows us to connect, for the awareness of presence, of pure possibility, of allowing this new thought of a world that could work for absolutely everyone. And as that quickens each of us and calls each of us in a unique and wonderful way to deliver the gifts that we have to give, to this amazing time of human awakening. We just allow this awareness of our oneness, the awareness that the genius is together and connected, and the ideas that come forth come from that divine awareness that already the world that works for everyone exists. And tonight we take one more step in that fulfillment of what is. Amen and all women.
And I just add to this a loving recognition of our oneness in consciousness at this moment, and that what we're doing is activating fields of ever greater awareness for the upliftment of our own consciousness and the furtherance of human awareness. And so I bless this time together, knowing it's fruitful, it touches each of us as we not only in our awareness move forward in the world, but in our behaviors and all that we bring to life. And so it is.
Amen.
So it is. Thanks. It's always good to start out something like this in a sacred space that we all share together. So Roger beginning and then Mary following after that, could you just take a few minutes and unfold for us at the very first program of New Thought on the News the idea behind why we decided to do something like this and why we think it's such a necessary component in being global spiritual citizens in the world today. Roger, would you like to begin that?
Sure. Well, I join Mary in just speaking how honored I am to be in connection with all who are listening and melding our hearts and minds together. And I've looked over the themes that several of the registrants, actually many of the registrants, have contributed, whether it's sustainability or world hunger or the GMOs or nuclear energy, ecology, ethics and morality, violence, terrorism, spiritual leadership. And I'm just touched that what we evoke here in all of this is the leading edge of human evolution, because I think one thing we'll be able to discern in this and other calls is that what we're really noticing are humanity's prayer requests, for bringing forth a higher quality of awareness and livingness upon the planet. And I know that in one way or another, as we deal with the general situations in the world, but also specific ones, that an opportunity will be there for us all to ask not only what is happening at the objective level of conditions and circumstances, but also what's happening at what you could call the cellular level. What's most deeply trying to be born in situations of strife or breakdown or even violence? What's trying to be born? And also, with that also, what's on its last leg? What's actually no longer sustainable in terms of the advance of our species? And I'm always remembering what a great author and friend of AG&T, Lynn Twist, brought forth at one of our Awakened World conferences when she said, we're at a time when we have to consciously hospice the old and the unworkable, that which is in the process of dying, even though it's maybe whipping up its last venomous, vehement energies. But we have to hospice the old and at the same time learn to midwife the emerging, what's trying to be born. And I know that in all of these things, New Thought's great contribution, it seems to me, will be anchoring new frequencies of consciousness, more compassionate, active consciousness, a more awakened paradigms, not just for a few thinkers in the world, but more and more as the new norm, so that our consciousness is more sustainable and inclusive, and then generates that bold, creative thinking that can take us forward. So that's my reflections on this, and I think it's a wonderful opportunity for us all to just be in the questions. It's very easy to hypothesize answers, and who knows, we'll probably do some of that. But I think sometimes it's great to be with very provocative and powerful, deep questions for a time, because sometimes the first impulse of our answers comes from old thinking sometimes, or something needs to incubate a while, and I'm sure that that'll generate a lot of that incubation in these calls. So I'll turn this over to Mary for her thoughts.
Well, I'm just delighted because I learned about this amazing walk called New Thought from a radio program. I never knew that consciousness created. And for us now to reach a point where through the internet we can connect with the world, the new way of seeing, the new possibilities. And because we're, what is it, New Thought looks at the news, Michael Beckwith said it so beautifully, it's really the old. We're looking at what our old consciousness has projected out into the outer, and that we have a possibility to focus, not put our head in the sand and ignore the crises, which is all around us, but to come together and through awareness of infinite possibility. And I do believe that the new norm is, as 30 years ago, Roger and Barbara, I think you remember, intuition suddenly became a management skill that was required of leadership. And it, at a time when it was once an anomaly, now it was required. What's required now is that we become highly skilled at the impossible, that what seems to be impossible today, we know tomorrow will probably be the new norm, but it's what we're focusing on. And when we turn on the TV or we go on the World Wide Web or we listen to what's being spoken, we hear old news and often bad news. And what's possible because of what we know, what we focus on increases by focusing on what Roger just talked about, what's emerging, by focusing on the innovation, by focusing on the great souls that every day are getting up and doing great things, in focusing our attention. We have a thing in our church now, it's called Find the Good and Praise It, Find the Good and Support It, Find the Good and Emulate It, Find the Good everywhere. And we're becoming masters at finding it. And that's one of the prayers I have for our gathering, is that to collectively, the genius that is listening, the genius that's online and will be sparked, is that out of that we'll find not just a sustainable future, but an abundant, delightful, joyful future. And we can maybe eliminate some of the lies that have taken hold, like lack. There's no lack in the universe. And I'm really excited about the ideas that will be discussed here and looking at it from a higher viewing point. And later on we'll be talking about President Obama's speech yesterday, but I heard a call for all of us to come together collectively and aim higher. So I'm waiting to hear from the people that are online listening, because I believe the genius is probably already on the call, and it's all around us, and I'm very excited about the possibilities that exist for us. These principles that Roger actually named universal spiritual principles, thank you, Roger, way, way, way back, these permeate now business and education and governance. They always did, but now we're naming them, and people are becoming skilled at using them. So I'm very excited about the potential and possibilities of us collectively sharing together, and I'm going to be on all the calls every month. So, Barbara, at some point we want to open up and maybe hear what's on the hearts and what's of major interest in with those who are listening with us today.
Absolutely. That's one of our main commitments, is not so much to have the series of calls that we're putting out be just presentations that are one way between the presenter and the people who are listening. That Mary referred to the fact that there is a collective endeavor going on here, and all of you who have actually taken, you know, significant time out of your lives in order to commit to listening to a series like this, we know that that isn't something that everybody has the luxury to do, so we thank you for being here. But we also want to hear from you about the things that concern you and things that would be helpful to know about, so that as we move forward through some of these challenges with a vision of a better world ahead, we're actually feeling like we're supported by our community and not just paralyzed in fear by the news that we're hearing, but knowing that there are solutions and a community of support around us, I think is very important. So really, without any particular question or agenda, I'd like to throw it open into our listening audience today. We're able to see you raise your hands on our computer screen by you touching the number 1 on your telephone keypad. And if you have any question, any comment, any issue, any concept to discuss before we move into the next portion of our call, we'd really like to hear from you in order to get a sense of what's up with you in the room today. So anyone who is brave enough to press 1 on your telephone keypad and add some comment into the room, I think that would be a good way to kick it off. Well, how do you like that? Mr. Stephen Pope has raised his hand. Stephen, go ahead.
I didn't have a distinct opinion to state, but I just wanted to say that I really liked already what I heard from Mary and Roger, and sort of in the sense that the Spirit helps us think past right and left and past opposition and helps us find community even with people that we may not agree with on details, but starts by saying, what do we share? What do we have in common? How can the awareness of faith and the awareness of us all being in the same boat help us just carry on the whole discussion of current events in a more respectful and more fruitful way? So I just wanted to say, yes, raise my hand and my flag and cheer for that attitude to start with.
Thank you. Anyone else have a comment or would like to list any issues or challenges or ideas that people are facing these days? I would like to activate Shirley Jane Hobbs' microphone. Hi, Shirley.
Hi. Yes.
Go ahead.
Really
we can hear
present.
You.
Okay. I'm really present with the awareness of how easy it is to lose that tag with this community. How, like today, I just kind of got separated somehow, and I have to really pay attention, it seems like, to make sure that I have a tag all the time. And I think that's something that we can address, is how easy it is, you know, just confronted by what's on the internet, confronted by the news, confronted by the endless movies that are coming out, and, you know, that if there's not a always present tag to grasp onto, or, you know, I think you know what I mean, then it's easy to get lost.
No, I think that we all know exactly what you mean. Do either one of you, Mary or Roger, would you like to comment on that?
Well, that's why
Go ahead.
Go, Roger. We can't see each other, everyone. So my dear friend, Roger, who coined universal spirituality, you go.
Well, I just honor that sensitivity that was just voiced, because it's easy to be in digital or informational connection. But a part of, I think, the emerging paradigm is how to bring community into that kind of an arena, because it's in our togetherness that we solve our problems, not in our isolation. And so that's a really big deal, is how in this information age can we keep the heart connection in the community, because it's that births the synergy that brings forth new ideas. So I really just honor that. I don't know if I have any answers, but I honor that intention, and we must keep it present.
And I honor the spiritual practice that allows us to get back to center faster and faster. Daily, as we increase our time in the silence, daily as we become more aware of those thoughts, that witness self, we catch things quicker, we shift, we come back into a loving center. And recently on the cruise that Roger and I were on, that Unity honored us both so well and gave us a big, wonderful award and a free cruise. We want to thank them for that. to realize that you can get lost. When someone asked me, well, what are you reading? And I thought about it, and I realized I hadn't been reading a lot lately, and I used to read all the time. But every single book I would pick up, every little article would tell me the same thing. Return to the center, get back into that place of peace. From there, allow the awareness of what's going on in the outer transform the energy within you and then move into the world and be the helping hand, be the vibration that can lift us higher. Because for so many years, Roger and all of you listening, I would get out in the world and I would work so hard to make a better world, but I was working from fear. I was working from lack. I was working from, I better fix something now. And this beautiful awareness that all is well now, inside, and from that we move out, and then we can transform outer conditions. So much of the world works in the outer, and yes, we are the hands and the feet of the Living One, but we must remember to change the consciousness within. Otherwise, we go out and we add to the problem. Am I making any sense? So, but it's so important to do the inner and the outer. And as we look at the news out there, isn't it really a reflection of our families and some of the inner conflicts inside of us? So I love this dialogue that will ensue because it's both and exciting time to be on the planet.
Thanks, Mary. I think in this part of our program, we do have a little bit of time for a couple more comments, and I see that we've got a comment from, I hope I'm pronouncing your name correctly. Is it Badia? Badia Cooper?
No, I think I must have hit the button by mistake.
Okay, that happened. Thanks for being here.
I don't have to comment at this time. I probably need to have one, but nothing's coming up.
Nice to hear from you. How about anyone else? I thought I saw another hand up. Maybe everybody chickened out. Yes, Reverend Cassandra Martin has a hand up. Go ahead.
Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
I just wanted to express gratitude. There was a time in my life where I could sense very deeply these feelings, but I had no language for it. And then as I began to explore a new thought, unity, and several other organized religions, I began to find that language. And I think having been born a natural mystic, that I was receiving information, thought forms, and trying to assimilate it, and it was confusing to me. But now as I find community, as I attend church, as I grow, I'm understanding more God indwelling and the principles that I'm learning to live by. I was interested in this conference because it addresses world issues, as well as giving insight into how we cope with the world we live in and how we activate our personal belief and gratitude for being involved in New Thought. So that is all I wanted to say. Thank you.
No, thank you so much for your comment. And we'll take one more before moving forward, and that's from Reverend Deborah Olive.
Hello. It is so good
Deborah.
To hear all of your voices. I'm excited about this program as well. And I've given so much thought to the emergence that's happening on the planet right now, and done that from a standpoint of my own meditations, but also history. And when I look back at the Renaissance, for example, a huge shift in consciousness. And, you know, there were leaders, there was an artistic community, there was innovation, and consciousness shifted. And I look also at some of the things that have happened in our own, you know, American history where, you know, it required a leader to stand up and put forth something new, a new possibility, and to do that in a way that people could believe it and it would open a massive belief to move in a new direction. And today, things are so transparent. There's so much news, so fast, so much information. There's such an opportunity with the internet. I wonder what kind of reflection, you know, what might be the tipping point in today's world that could open that space for the good that's wanting to emerge and for this shift that's happening in consciousness today.
Thank you, Deborah. In that realm, I would like to ask whether Mary or Roger might want to offer us a few words of meditation to have a moment of reflection on the things that you just said and what others have just voiced into this call before we move forward, just to anchor some of the ideas that have come forth so far. So Mary or Roger?
Well, I'm remembering to start this that I think it was Chuck Yeager, the pilot that broke the sound barrier. He said, the cockpit shakes the most just before you reach the goal. I believe that what we're experiencing is the shaking cockpit on our journey. And so I just bless us as we've raised the whole specter and spectrum of all that's going on. And if there's anything that we can do while we explore answers is we can encourage one another not to become discouraged. Even as the cockpit shakes, we can be the hand that helps keep all of us up, even if some of the challenges move into the sphere of our own lives, or as we, in our open hearts, feel grief for those who are at the epicenter of the challenges. Mm-hmm. Still, we can hold a high vision and help each other. And so may we just be with that for a moment, that we have a community here, a vibrant, powerful, invisible, but extremely compelling community that is helping keep all of our hearts open and our inspiration on high as the new and the possible comes forth. May we not become discouraged.
And may we free ourselves from the lies that we believed in of scarcity, lack, divisiveness. When we live in the realm of love and the realm of infinite possibility, the realm of abundance of more than enough. And if we just hold on together and know that as we live in that overflow, we allow an awareness of others, and there's no purpose, no reason for greed, because there's enough. That simple knowing there's enough, whether it's kindness, food, clean water, helping hands. And what really makes our lives meaningful is community, creativity, connection, harmony. There is no limit to that. And so we can envision, even right now, as the old is dissolving, as Roger mentioned, so is the new emerging. And it's in the awareness of honoring what's been, releasing it through its nothingness, and allowing what's coming forth. We are living in amazing times, and we've been preparing for eons for this time. I am grateful, and I see us emerging with courage, wisdom, and abundance of kindness, and sharing it, the qualities of the soul taking over.
Thank you, everyone, for that. As we were preparing for this first call, Roger, Mary, and I were discussing what would be the appropriate topics to move ourselves into the series, and they each had a slightly different perspective on what they'd like to first talk about. So to begin, I'd like to ask Reverend Mary, who zeroed in on President Obama's speech that was given in Berlin, I think it was the day before yesterday, and you had some perspectives on why that speech seemed to affect you so much, Mary, and I'm thinking that it probably had that same effect on many people. So would you like to take some time and describe
well,
to
I
us?
Would. I had turned on the news specifically to catch, I had looked at the ideas that were shared by those that were going to be joining us. And so I wanted to turn it on the last couple of days and catch what's really on the old news. And there it was, Obama giving a speech in Berlin. Now, many of us online today aren't old enough to remember 1963 when John F. Kennedy stood on the other side, the west side of the Brandenburg Gate that was closed off by a wall that had been built only 2 years before. But I was in high school, and I remember the divided city, and I remember the fear around the Cold War. And then I was older, and I remember when Reagan went, and some of the most, they said, often quoted of his words as a president was, take down that wall. And I thought, what a metaphor to have the American president today stand on the east side, not in the ruins of a war, but in a thriving mecca of business and people gathering. And what it reminded me of was, wasn't it Martin Luther King Jr. that said, the long arc of history bends towards justice? It was such a reminder that without people standing in courage and speaking words, and maybe the most important words that were spoken in 1963 that are resonant again are peace with justice. And yesterday or the day before, President Obama used that metaphor, peace with justice, as a metaphor for every crisis that was facing the planet. And the awareness that the solutions work for everybody. And the amazing awareness that things are getting better. It's so easy to look at the media's the mass distraction. We see it all the time. It's almost hard to keep up with local bad news and global bad news. It's like you turn it on and you get scared unless you know that that's just a projection. But aren't we grateful for everyone who stands up and speaks a higher vibration, a deeper call? And what really thrills me is that around the world, people are every day getting up and living heroic lives and simply and quietly, with integrity, doing what's before them and bringing about peace with justice. And sometimes it can seem so long. But if we really look at how long we've been marching to wake up, we're on the verge of great potential. And your example, Roger, was so so meaningful. It really shakes right before you break through. And every woman that's ever given birth said amen when you said that. You know, right before that beautiful child comes out, there's some other emotions and feelings going on. And we can get afraid if we don't understand a process that's unfolding. So I was very inspired by the talk and the possibility and being called that we are citizens of the world, that was spoken by several leaders just a couple days ago. We're citizens. We're dual citizens, not just of the world, but we're dual citizens of a kingdom of awareness, of presence. So it's a metaphor for what's happening right here on planet Earth. It's really a metaphor for what's unfolding in the higher realms. And that's what New Thought brought to me, was the awareness that what's within me is going to manifest without. And so I love being inspired by possibility. I love the great luminaries that speak higher truth. And we see, too, from that, a metaphor for when World War II ended, we did something extraordinary that's seldom been done. And I don't want to oversimplify the Marshall Plan, but we literally supported our enemies to rebuild their countries. And today, our enemies, just 40, 50, 60 years ago, are now our friends. And what if we took what's going on with terrorists and we took the same approach? Can we think big enough? There are some models that have already been done that for terrorism to have a foothold, in a country, there has to be such a level of illiteracy and poverty and hopelessness. And it's a very small investment to make changes. Yes, there'll always be an anomaly. There'll always be someone who doesn't get it, but for the kind of terrorism that we see, all of these things can be resolved. But we need to have the ideas, and we need to plant those ideas, and we need to work for them. So I'm pretty fired up about it because it's still in the emotional remembrance of civil rights, which we've seen go from people of one race now to exclude all people, now to include sexual orientation, soon to include the planet, the plants, the species. The movement is, it's underway, and I heard it spoken very clearly in that speech, and so I'm inspired, and I think it's so important that we remember that we change when we plant new seeds, and we cultivate them, and we work for them.
Thank you, Mary. Roger,
I think I got a little preachy there. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. That's very good. Roger, would you like to step off those remarks, and you have some issues of your own that you'd like to discuss?
Well, they're beautiful, and I just would add to that I think a part of the growth in consciousness is learning how we can celebrate our own particular countries and communities while also doing it in a respectful way that at the very same time acknowledges that we're a shared humanity, and I think that's in itself a huge step forward, and maybe we can all look at how we could be a voice and a presence for that as we approach soon the celebration, you know, the July 4th celebrations, which in no way takes away from our own heritage, but at the same time links it, because I think the pluralism of our country is one of its greatness, one of its aspects of its greatness, and it needs to extend beyond national borders now and become a widespread consciousness. And so beyond that, you know, in the last month and prior to the call, and I think that's what's going to happen in these calls, in the interim months, there'll be a collection of some of the key happenings that'll be commented on, and as a community we can deal with that. But I know that in the last month in particular, there have been new uprisings in various countries, especially it seems Middle Eastern primarily, Pakistan, Turkey. And there have been also a continued amount of natural disasters, whether it's the tornadoes or fires. And in fact, I'm in Colorado, and we're dealing with several fires right now. And those are some things I think that are kind of on the front burner, at least from my perspective. And in terms of the uprisings, you know, it's tough to see such destructiveness and lashing out and violence. And yet, I think from a higher perspective, I think that something that has been suppressed in human hearts is coming forth and can no longer be contained. And there's good news in that. I personally don't believe that the human spirit can be suppressed permanently. At some point, the pressure, like in a pressure cooker, builds and there's the explosion of it. And hopefully we can learn to allow those breakthrough points to come forth more peacefully. And yet what's happening, as we know in our own personal lives, is that often on our pathway, turmoil and breakdown preceded our breakthroughs. And I'm a student of spiral dynamics. And as you look at the various spiral of the elements of consciousness, the dimensions of consciousness that have been birthed in the human journey, they call it memes. They give them different colors and characteristics. But what interests me most about it is that every meme is born as a solution to the problems of the prior meme. But then that meme that's been born generates its own problems that it can't itself solve, just like somebody said that we can't solve our current problems with the thinking that created them. And so the certain level of consciousness creates its own new problems, even though it was a solution earlier. And then that precipitates the kind of breakdown that births the new aspects of consciousness. So I see in some of those things that something in humanity is seeking to become more generally upraised, and we can bless that. And I think it's an opportunity for prayer. and for us in New Thought to remember and not just give it lip service, that we're all of one mind. We are activities of one mind, and we transcend time and space when we go into deep prayer, and to pray for our brothers and sisters wherever they're questing for their freedoms or for breakthroughs or anything that is just no longer acceptable to the human heart. We pray and bless them. And then with the natural disasters, that's always a heartbreaking thing too, because, you know, it just sort of brings forth a sense at one level, at the level of conditions, a sense of hopelessness and helplessness that we all share. At the level of conditions, we can't always control it. To some degree, we have influence over it. But what we are never out of control of, we're never helpless in the area of consciousness and in our hearts. And I know that as we get a wake-up call from the planet about our role in creating conditions that are warming the planet or contributing to the problems that we face, at the same time, it's also, at another level, an opportunity for continuing to open our hearts and understanding that at some point, at the level of materiality, we're all vulnerable. And so to hold the compassion for all those who are experiencing whatever that is at the level of the world or the environment is a possibility, while we then ask, what can we do as this wake-up call environmentally continues to intensify? But I would just add, in conclusion on my part, as we deal with these uprisings, natural disasters, remember our tremendous personal capacity to enter into the oneness with prayer and with deep and profound compassion, and let that motivate our actions, and then our consciousness will also make a difference.
Thank you, Roger. And thank you, Mary, as well. Right now, I'm sure that many people, all of you on the call, are bubbling up with some ideas and responses to what's just been briefly laid out in front of you through Mary and Roger. And we find that one of the most fun and productive parts of a call like this is that we have the ability to put you all into small breakout groups so that you can actually speak to each other about the impressions and responses that are coming up for you now. It's easier and more personal than raising your hand and speaking into the large group. So right now we'll be putting you into breakout groups for just a few minutes to discuss the questions and insights that have come up for you during the conversation so far. And the way this works is that we'll put you into the groups, and when the bell rings, an announcement will be made that you're now in your session and you're to facilitate yourselves. An easy way to do this, because you can't see each other, obviously, is to start by going around and introducing yourself and where you're from. And then go around again, and this time go around in the order of alphabetically by first name. And each person just take a minute or two to share your thoughts and interact with each other. It doesn't have to be too formal. About halfway through the session, I think this will be about 10 minutes total, we'll ring a bell just to help you with your timing, and then we'll ring another bell just before the session is ending. So the next thing you'll hear is a bell and a voice announcing that you're in your breakout groups and you can begin. Okay, thanks everyone. I hope that you enjoyed the group dialogue. Usually this piece is very productive because everybody's got a lot to say, and this is a moment for sharing in community. So before we say goodbyes and have some closing remarks, is there anyone who has something very pressing that briefly needs to be said to the group, or a question that might be asked of one of our panelists today? Remember, you can let us know that you have something to say by pressing 1 on your telephone keypad. Let's take one comment. Karen Moore?
Hi. I just wanted to say thank you. I enjoyed both the information that I got from your speakers, but also I was really, really, really blessed by the small group discussion that we had. So thank you for doing this.
Well, thank you, Karen. Thanks for committing the time to being here. And Joyce Zender.
Yes, I'd like to say that these conversations are so vital because it's so easy to get all the news and all the things that are wrong in this world. And unless we go to church on Sunday where we are uplifted in an untraditional way, we don't have the same consciousness uplift. And I think it's wonderful that we have this association to continue its efforts with so many people participating in uplifting our consciousness. Thank you.
Thank you, Joyce. The feedback is really valuable to us and inspiring, and it keeps us going, so thank you. Let's just have, as we close up here, just a couple concluding remarks from Mary and Roger before they have to sign off and we're ending for today. Mary and Roger?
Well, I want to say thank you for each one who shared, because I can feel the vibration, and I know that spirit moves through each of us, that we each carry an essential piece of it, and we're all here to be a part of the Great Awakening. So I'm overflowing with gratitude, and I look forward to being with Kathy Hearn and Reverend Wendy Craig Frisell in a month, and I'm just honored.
Thanks, Mary.
Well, I just am trying to remember, and I'm not going to get it all, but that great quote from the Hopi elder that said, "The river is rushing now very quickly. And there will be those who are afraid, and those who will be injured in the flow. It's a time for us coming together." And I remember one phrase. It said, "The time of the lone wolf is over." And that's what I bless in what we're doing here. Again, not necessarily coming up with simplistic answers, but encouraging ourselves, opening up to the possible, joining together in community. I think that's a part of the system shift that's happening all across the planet in so many ways. So my love to you all. And again, let us not be discouraged, but encouraged by what's emerging and being birthed.
And Roger, can I add one great line in the Healthy Elders? They said, "Look who's in the water with you and celebrate." So I just want to invite us, celebrate. This is the most exciting thing that's happened in the beginning from the end. Here we are together waking up. Yay.
Thank you. The closing line to that Hopi Elder statement is, "We are the ones we've been waiting for."
Well, there you go. Together. And I bet everybody who's listening knows a piece of it.
Pretty much says it all. Well, thanks very much. I just wanted to let you know that Thursday, July 18th, we're doing this the third Thursday of every month at 6 p.m. Pacific time. So Thursday, July 18th is our next program. We'll be sending everyone information about the program, and the call-in number and the PIN that you used for today's call will be your permanent access throughout the series, even though you'll continue to receive reminders in case you misplace that. So on the count of three, I think that we'll open up everyone's microphones, and on the count of three, please join us in wishing each other peace and blessings and offering peace to all beings and saying our goodbyes. Here we go. One, two, three.
Thank you, Donna.
Thanks.